Good morning. I just got here a second ago. I was on fire down there in On Point. One of the interesting things that's happened to me this morning is one of our senior parents found a Tesla key. And so if this belongs to you, I'll have it after the worship service. I didn't know that was a Tesla key. Did any of y'all? Okay, well, I learned something new today, so thank you very much. Class of 2025, I learned at St. Mary's graduation earlier this month that most of you were born the year that the iPhone came out, January 9th, 2007, which was about 2 weeks before Amelia's birthday. Are all y'all born in 2007, a few 2006? 2006. That means that you guys in your 18 or so years have seen profound change. You've been through quite a lot, some of it good, some of it not so good. I think we have an obligation for at least another couple years to say to everybody, like, COVID class stunk. That was a bad time. I had a lot of family time at that point in my life. There were five of us crammed into the house. And everybody was using every workspace. My wife was teaching seventh graders on the COVID computer. And I was trying to run the church on the COVID computer, and all three of the kids were doing their best to take classes. You've learned a lot, I think, in your life because of the year that you were born, of the goodness and the badness of social media. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Our text today is about unity. It's about oneness, what Lee just read. And I think social media, in spite of some of the goodness it can do, is probably the finest tool of division that the devil ever designed. And so don't go down too many rabbit holes, or at least more than you need to. I had a great privilege here the last 14 years of watching you guys grow up. I've loved you like my own. And growing up's not easy. I think we in our 50s or 60s or 70s sometimes forget that. There's a guy who writes for the New York Times named David Brooks, and he's really a prolific writer. I think one of the better ones in America. Just my opinion. Don't have to agree with me, because the text is about unity, and we're going to be of one mind and heart today, right? But David Brooks not only writes for the New York Times, he writes books. And one of the books he wrote is called The Social Animal. And it's a book about human development, and it tracks a couple from their first date. It's like semi-fictional. And then the couple gets married, and they have a baby, and then it picks up the baby. So what happens to this baby? And he traces you through this whole baby's life, the heartbreaks, the times he got kicked out of class, the way that we learn from both positive and negative reinforcement sometimes, all the things. But sort of the conclusion, the climax, the top point of the book, if you will, is a little sentence, a little statement that he has, and that when it comes to our young adults, when it comes to our young people, when it comes to folks like you and all the others that are graduating this year, we do a great job as a society of teaching you sort of the rules of success. Hard work, right? Be on time. Fill your brain with knowledge. Find what you're interested in. Pursue those interests. And let me say this clearly. Being professionally successful and pursuing your interest is really important. And we do a great job of that. Parents are good at that. Teachers are good at it. There's a lot to surround you and support you with all the hours you've been in school to learn those things. But then Brooks says, but the things that are really important, like what to believe, who to marry, if you should be a parent someday, he's like, if you don't get that at home or in your faith community, it just doesn't exist out there. I hope in the 18 years that some of you have been around this place, I hope in the time I've spent at some of your homes, I hope that you've gotten some of that here by being immersed in this community. I hope you've learned a little bit about what to believe and about who you are and about what your great calling in this world can be. And if we haven't, we didn't do a very good job. But I hope you got some of it, and I hope you will remember that. Because I tend to believe that as important as knowledge is, belief is more important than knowledge. And what I mean by that is belief is what orders your knowledge. Do y'all use GPS on your phones ever? Guess what the exact same thing that targets missiles in Russia and Ukraine is, like right now? There's no difference. The only difference is what is in the heart of the believer and how we choose to use it. Belief will order knowledge all the days of your life. And I hope that we put some of that in you, just a little bit. And I hope you will apply it each and every day of your living. I also hope you'll take a chance or two every now and then. Not a risk. Say that. Not a risk. Okay. But a chance or two every now and then. I was watching BBC America, and they were doing an interview with this British comedian whose name I didn't bother to write down. And here's how he got started. He's on a worldwide tour right now, like 20,000-seat arenas. And they asked, well, how'd you get started? He said, well, my wife had kicked me out of the house. I was down on my luck. I was wandering around, and I thought I'd go to the pub and try to drink my concerns away. Only when I got to the pub, they said it was a $3 charge to get in. And then the guy said, unless you put your name on the list. And the comedian says, what list? He goes, well, it's stand-up comedy, open mic night tonight. And if you put your name on the list and you'll perform, it's free. And he's like, well, I barely had £3 in my pocket to begin with, so I put my name on the list. And what happened? He bombed. Like, he was terrible. You know, here he is now, like 25 years later. Sometimes it's okay to put your name on the list. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do, to sign up for that thing that you didn't think would ever be a part of your life. You don't know sometimes. Don't take risks. Like, do not bungee jump without the bungee cord, right? That's an unacceptable risk. But putting yourself out there is never the wrong thing. Taking a risk to discover something that you hadn't known before is never the wrong thing. And sometimes it just may open the door. It just may be the thing that opens the door to the great purpose of your life. And sometimes it may take two or three different times to find it. And that's okay too. I'm a big fan of the movie Forrest Gump. It came out the summer I got married, 1994, which was 30 years ago, darling. 30th anniversary this year. We did it. 30 years ago. And the best scene in the movie is at the very end. The very end. When Forrest, he's got one purpose in life. It's to take care and protect and to love this girl, Jenny, who will have nothing to do with him because Forrest, let's say he's developmentally challenged in some ways. And Forrest, Jenny dies, presumably of something like AIDS. They're not told in the movie, but that's the presumption. And he buries her under the tree on his farm. And at the final scene of the movie, he walks out. He walks out to Jenny's grave. And he says, Jenny, there's something I don't know. And he says, one person has taught me that life is about fate, that the things that happen to us are fated. And that comes from a guy named Lieutenant Dan, who was his lieutenant in a war, who believed that his fate was to die in a war. But he was wrong. And so this guy, Lieutenant Dan, loses his faith in fate, and he goes into a crisis. So Forrest says, Lieutenant Dan thinks it's all fate, but Mama used to tell me that life was like being blown up on a breeze like a feather. And you just kind of go everywhere. That stuff just kind of happens. And then he says to Jenny's grave, I don't know which one it is, but I'm starting to think it's both. And that's not in the Bible, but maybe it ought to be. maybe it ought to be in the Bible, because that seems to me to be good wisdom. There will be times going forward where you all feel like I was fated to be in this moment, like your heart will bing, your eyes will light up, you will be overwhelmed by the fact that you get to live this moment. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And then there will be other times, God bless it, other times when everything seems so random, you can't figure out up from down, right from wrong. And that's when you're going to have to live into those beliefs and values that I've hoped you learn in your families and here in this church, because that's when you're going to need them. That's when you're going to need them. But the truth is that we learn equally as much from the times when we've got to recalibrate and reset and start over as we do when we have gotten the top grade and all the awards and the promotion and all the success in the world. We need both. We need both, or we cannot be who we are. That's the truth of our lives. We all wish we could avoid struggle. We can't. But we can survive struggle if we lean into those values and into those beliefs that I hope you've learned at home, and at least some here at White Memorial. As you leave this place, know that Maya Angelou was right, one of the greatest writers that ever lived in America. Some of y'all may know this quote and know it well. But she said once very famously, people will not remember what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel. And again, that's not in the Bible either, but maybe it ought to be, because that is profoundly wise and a profoundly good way to live. I do wish you every success, though. I wish you more than success. I wish you happiness. We wish you love. We wish you depth of character and depth of soul. One of my favorite stories is about Stephen King. Stephen King is maybe the best-selling American author in the last 50 years. His books aren't my cup of tea exactly, because they're like horror genre books, but he sells a lot of them, and he's one of the wealthiest men in America. And he's always lived in Maine. And one day in the early 2000s or late 90s, he was walking down the roadside in Maine, and a van hit him and knocked him into a ditch. And what Stephen King said about that experience after many, many surgeries and so forth was, you know, when you're laying in a ditch covered with grass, you don't think, I wish I would have written one more book. You don't think, I wish I would have made more money. You don't think, I wish I would have been more successful and more famous. He says, you think, I want to live and I want to be loved and love my people more. That's what you think about at the end. And the best way to make that beautiful for you is to live every day from now until the end of your days with that in mind. That the truly successful man or woman is one that has spent their energies and their time not only trying to feed themselves and their family, but cultivating as much love and friendship as you can. As much love and friendship as you can. So, you're getting ready to leave here, at least for a little while. And if here means that you're going to school really, really close, I know where most of you are going, I think, that's great. It still won't be here. Things will start to change from the moment you pack up the van or the truck or however you're getting there. And what will happen is, for the first time in a long time, and I say that to you all because this particular group in front of me, even though they go to different schools, they have done an amazing job of caring for each other the last 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, 12 years. There are times when I would ask my daughter, Amelia, are you staying here for dinner tonight? And she would say, no, I'm going to so-and-so's house for dinner. And it was a dinner for church friends, like potlucks out on the courtyard, basically, here. I've never seen a youth group do that. I've seen some come close, but I've never seen that. And so even though some of you may be close, the truth is, for the first time in a long time, you guys are about to be divided. You are. And that's good and it's bad. It's the best
It's the best hard thing we do. We say goodbye to childhood. And we take the next step into becoming who we're supposed to be. The genius of this Sunday, giving us John 17, I didn't pick it, it's just in the lectionary, is that that text that Lee read is all about oneness, even in spite of the division. You all going out into a world that is deeply divided, I do not need to tell you that. And the question and my charge to you is, can you all be of one heart, even when our minds are divided or our opinions are divided? Can we do it? I mean, church, can we do it? Not just these young people, but can we do it? Can we? At verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, Father, I pray that they may all be one. You know? And then he allows himself to get arrested. He allows himself, while he's saying his prayer, to be arrested. That's the very next thing that happens to him. He didn't build an army to protect himself. You know, he didn't ask God to send down fire and brimstone to kill the soldiers that were going to arrest him. No, he did his duty. He fulfilled his calling. And in his last moments weren't filled with hatred. They are filled with love. They were filled with love. May they all be one. May they all be one, he says, over and over again. Will they be unified in spite of all the division? Will they have one heart in spite of all the disagreements? You see, Jesus and everything he did set the pattern for his life. And in setting the pattern for his life, sets it for ours. And we are supposed to work for unity and kindness. That will take courage. Doesn't mean it's easy. But that's what we're supposed to do, day in and day out. And to follow Jesus like this is the great privilege of our lives. It's like grace itself. It serves to us as a reminder that taking Jesus at his word is always the best choice. For God is good, y'all, all the time, and all the time, God is good. I think that's about enough for me today. We love you. Go with our prayers and our blessings. Amen. Sometimes God doesn't answer prayer, by the way, y'all. I've been praying for a month that I wouldn't cry, but maybe it's what I needed today. Thank you all. So you've just sung the benediction. That's a beautiful hymn that says, bless you until our lives cross paths someday in the future. And that's our prayer, not just for the graduates, but for all of us. That you would be blessed with God's spirit of unity and oneness today and all the days of your living. Because oneness and kindness truly is the way of life in the word of Christ. And given the alternatives, we'd rather be known as people of faith by our love and by our kindness than anything else. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace with gladness and singleness of heart. Class 2025, go with God's Spirit today and every day of your living. Go in peace, friends, indeed, until we meet again. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.